Thank you, Stacy. Beautiful, beautiful song, and what a truth that is. That is the reason that Jesus came and died on the cross. You, me. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Wow. Beautiful song. Thank you so much, Father, for sending your Son to die for us. Thank you for salvation. Help us to think about it this morning. Help us to remember it. And God, help us not to forget you, our Savior. Lord, I'm afraid here in America, so many have forgotten. And it's why we're in the mess that we're in. Help us, God, to remember what you've done for us. Bless our service now. Please speak to hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 33 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." America is great because God has blessed America. We know that to be true. We recognize that America has great resources. America has beauty that is unsurpassed by any country. I mean, other countries are beautiful, don't get me wrong, but America has, it's just beautiful. And we have great resources, vast resources in America. But don't ever get the idea that we're lucky. That has nothing to do with it. God has blessed America. Now, I say that because I go to Psalm 106 and verse 21, and that is where I get my text. And also my title, "They Forgot God, Their Savior, Which Had Done Great Things in Egypt." I'll be honest with you, many Americans have forgotten God. They've forgotten all about God. There are many Christians today, I mean, maybe even sitting here, you've forgotten what God's done. And sad to say, I believe that might be our biggest problem in America. We've just forgotten. And I'll be honest with you about this. The truth is, there has been a plan since America was established that we'd forget. The devil has done everything he can to cause us to forget. And there is so much working in our country today to get us to forget. You know, people forget about the pilgrims. Right? Yeah, I mean, so much about the pilgrims today has nothing to do with the fact that they thanked God for what He had done. It has nothing to do with the fact that they were here because they wanted to worship God. It has nothing to do with all that. It has everything to do with football and turkey and, yeah, you know why? Because the devil wants us to forget. And so many have no clue about the pilgrims. They forget about presidents who prayed. Do you understand? We've had many, many presidents of our country who bowed the knee to God Almighty and begged God to make this country a great country. We have had many, many presidents that loved God. Well, what about separation of that has been distorted to the place that the average American hadn't got a clue what that really means. The whole idea was that the government could not interfere in what we're doing here. It had nothing to do with us having a part in government. It had everything to do with government never telling us what to preach, what not to preach, what to do, what not to do. It had nothing to do with any of that. I mean, it was supposed to be to protect us from the government. Boy, has that ever been forgotten about? How about "In God We Trust"? Great movements today trying to get that removed. "In God We Trust." Huh? But there was somebody, there were people that believed that at one time. "In God We Trust." But boy, today. "My country 'tis of thee." That used to be known by every elementary child in America. How about "God Bless America"? Yeah. How about America? America, we just sang it a while ago. God shed His grace on thee. But you see, there are plans to remove all of that. And more secular history books are removing God from the truth, from history, from what really took place. I read something the other day. Somebody actually had the audacity to make a statement that, there was never any design of this being a Christian country. Now, again, Christian. I'm not even talking about just using the word like so many do today. I'm talking about people really believed, walked with, loved, prayed to God Almighty. And that is what this country was founded on. And the principle that we can worship our God and we can talk to God and today it's like we forgot all about that. And there's no mention of God in the history books. And so many Americans forget. You see, it's our nature to forget. It really is. Every one of us, it's our nature to forget things. In fact, it's interesting. Tonight we'll have the Lord's Supper. And we had to be told to do it. Jesus had to say, "This do in remembrance of me." Why? Because He knew we'd forget. And I am convinced today that the problem that Israel had, God's people, the problem they had, is the same problem we have. They forgot God. They just simply forgot God, their Savior. The Bible says in verse 13, they soon forgot His works. Verse 21, they forgot Him. Totally, just forgot Him. And Satan wants us to forget Him. Satan wants you to forget Him today. He wants you, okay, go to church, but don't think about God. Go to church, but don't think about Him as your Savior. Go to church, but don't love Him. Don't listen to Stacy Walkden singing a song that might stir things up. Don't even pay attention to that. You know, Satan says, "I don't want you to think about Him. I don't want you to think about how much He loves you. I don't want you to think about how much you loved Him. I want you to think about this afternoon, the cookout. I want you to think about fireworks later on. I want you to think about having tomorrow off. I want you to think about everything but God." You can think about religion all you want, but don't think about God. I want you to listen this morning. You know, God delivered the Israelites, and they forgot. I'm talking about God parted the Red Sea, but that wasn't the first miracle He did. He sent 10 plagues to the Egyptians that were miraculous plagues. And then He parted the Red Sea. Parted the Red Sea, split it so they could walk over on dry ground, and then when the enemy followed them, He covered them over with water, thus eliminating them. They weren't going to follow Him anywhere, and they all drowned. But I say all that because they forgot. You say, "Preacher, I read that. I just can't believe anybody would forget that." And wait a minute. I have to say this. So many Christians forget what God's done for them. Because it is no different what God did for Israel as what He did for me when I was a 17-year-old boy and He came into my heart and He saved me. And He took my sins and He might as well have drowned them in the Red Sea because they have no hold on me anymore. Is that what happened to you when you got saved? Remember when you were excited? But we forget. We forget. I mean, not to mention the fact that God did all that to the Egyptians, but remember what they were when God did that. They were all slaves. They were all being beaten. They were being whipped. They had no say-so. They had no land. They had nothing that they could call their own. They had no freedom. As we as Americans watch slowly our freedoms being taken away from us, as we slowly watch freedoms. And again, it's not, there's some maybe sitting here thinking, "Oh, come on, it's not that." It always starts out small. Let me remind you that in Christ, we're free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He's made you free today. free from sin, free from guilt, free from all of that. And the Israelites, they had no freedom, they had no future, they had nothing. But when the Red Sea parted and the Egyptian army was drowned, they're free. They'll see him no more again forever. God is so great. And when God saved me, do you understand? I will never stand guilty before God because God saved me. You will never stand. You will never hear the word guilty because God saved you. But we forget. Here they forgot and they started griping about things. Come on, when's the last time you griped? Well, actually, preacher, it was just a little while ago. I really didn't like... You know, we isn't it amazing how we forget? That's what they did. They started griping. They actually started griping so much, they thought, you know, I think we'd have been better off in Egypt. Unbelievable. Boy, we forget, don't we? Huh? I mean, when you got saved, your life was a wreck. You're on your way to hell. Remember when somebody came and they told you how to be saved? Maybe it was a soul winner. Maybe it was somebody knocked on your door. Maybe it was a bus captain told you, invited you to church and told you you can ride the bus and hear about Jesus. Maybe it was at a vacation Bible school. They told you how to be saved and you thought, wow, that's something. I enjoy talking to our little children on Wednesday nights and right after vacation Bible school especially. They'll come and somebody will talk to them. A soul winner will go through the Bible and show them. And I'll ask them, I'll say, so what did you do today? I don't prompt them or anything. And it's so exciting when somebody, you know, they'll look up and they'll say, I asked Jesus into my heart. And I say, really? Did he come in? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I remember when he came into my heart. I remember when he saved me. I remember when I became a new creature. I do remember that. You say, well, that's because you tell it all the time. And why don't you? Jesus said, in reference to the Lord's Supper, this do in remembrance of me, because he knew we'd forget. And tonight, as we observe the Lord's Supper together, I want you to understand we do that because he told us to, because we'll forget otherwise. We'll forget that his body was beaten with a cat of nine tails, literally till the flesh was hanging from his body. We forget that the blood was spilling out of his body, and we forget that his hands were nailed to wood and his feet were nailed, and we forget that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we forget that he died on that cross for us. And if you were the only person on this earth, he would have done it for you. And if I were the only person, he would have done it for me. But we forget that. And so he said, take the bread so you remember that my body was broken. Drink the juice so you'll remember that my blood was spilt. And do that in remembrance. Remember me. Remember me. And we, like the Israelites here, we forget God, our Savior. We forget how wonderful it is to know that Jesus loves me. We forget the mess that sin produces in our life. We forget the guilt and the misery in all of that. We forget all that. And we get lured away by the world and lured back to the bondage of sin that we left, and we were so glad when we were free. And we think about the garlics and the leeks and the melons like the Israelites did. Oh, Egypt with its garlic, its leeks, and its melons. And all of a sudden, garlics, leeks, and melons look better than the promised land? And yet there's people right here this morning who the garlics, leeks, and melons of the world, it looks better than the promised land that God wants for you. I'm talking about the promised land of an abundant Christian life. And we forget. And I believe it's why America is in the mess that it's in. Because God's people, remember this, it rests on us. If my people, which are called by my name, that's Christians, that's God's people, You know, you can rail all you want on the homosexual crowd, the abortion crowd, and all that kind of bunch, and that's fine, and we can talk about immorality, and we can talk about crime, and we should. But I'm telling you, it rests on God's people, my people, he said, which are called by my name, and our problem is, we've forgotten God. We've forgotten what it is, what it is all about. We're not excited to tell other people about Jesus because we're not excited anymore because we forgot. Real quick, let me just go through this and show you some things that we forget. First of all, we forget our prayer. We forget our prayer. Notice in verse 4, Psalm 106 and verse 4, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Oh, visit me with thy salvation." Verse 6, "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly." And somehow we forgot about all of that and we forgot our prayer. Remember when you asked Jesus into your heart? Remember when you told him, "God, I've sinned against you." Remember in your heart, in your mind, you were thinking of specific things that you had done. You knew what you deserved. Remember? Remember when some soul winner maybe or the preacher was preaching, or maybe you were at camp or a conference, and clearly in the scripture, God put his finger on a verse. God put his finger on your life. And God said, "Hey, this is what you've done against me." And you said, "I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty." Remember? And you went to him, "Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Oh God, please save my soul." Remember the first time you heard about hell? And you realized it is real. And by the way, it is. You may be here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior. You don't know you're going to heaven. Hey, listen to me. Hell is real. My Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. And that's because so many people, wide is the way. It's wide. It's so wide because so many are on their way to hell. Boy, I remember when I thought I was going to hell. Actually, I remember when I knew I was going to hell. I remember the guilt. I remember sitting in church. I remember invitations given. I remember the sweat pouring down my face. I remember being literally, my clothes were soaked from sweat, from being so shook up, because I did not want to go to hell. But I didn't want to get saved either. But I remember when I did get saved, and I remember the prayer, and I called out to God. It wasn't a cute little nursery rhyme prayer. I said some of those when I was a child. You know, "God is great, God is good, thank you God for this food. Something like that, remember? "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." We did all those things, kind of like good luck charms. Cross your fingers while you pray. Keep the bad guys away. All that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about when I got saved. I said, "God, I'm a sinner. God, I sinned against you. And I do it regularly. And God, I know because of my sin, I deserve hell. But would you save me? Would you save me, God? Please come into my heart and save me." Now, fireworks didn't go off. Lights didn't flash off and on everywhere. But God saved me. And I knew God saved me. And I don't want to forget it. Huh? I don't want to forget that prayer. I don't want to forget that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was on my way to hell. And I know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm on my way to heaven. I'll be honest, that's the difference. You go to a funeral home and you see a family that where the people know beyond a shadow of a doubt that person is in heaven and that they are going to heaven. And there's a whole different spirit from those who have no clue. In fact, I say this every time. I have no idea how an unsaved person could ever attend a funeral. I don't know how you could do it. I don't know how you could stand in a cemetery, which we just did last week. And we stood out there in the cemetery, and our little group, we sang Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And we sang, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And we're not thinking about death. We're not thinking about corruption. You know what we're thinking about? We're thinking about 10,000 years later, we're still going to be singing Amazing Grace up in heaven. Boy, what a difference that is. But you know, those today who are down and discouraged and you know, because sin has weighed you down, understand this, you've forgotten. You've forgotten that prayer. Those Christians today that have gotten so far away from God. It says in verse 8, nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake. You're not saved. You didn't get saved because of anything you did, and you're not saved today because of anything you did. Amen. And I got news for you. If the Bible says if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I know, you know, I know some Christians, their lives are pretty much a mess. Hey, it's only because you forgot. It's time today for you to remember what He's done. It's time today, certainly, for Americans to remember what made our country great. But it all has to go back to Christians, individuals, saved people saying, God, thank You for saving my soul. We forgot our prayer. Think about your prayer now. Think about when you got saved. Go back to that day in your mind. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten the tears? I remember the tears. I remember the tears. We forget our prayer. Number two, we forget our pardon. What's it all mean? Notice verse 10. He saved them from the hand of him that hated them. I mean, here's what God is saying to Israel. He's saying, I am saving you from the ones who hate you. I'm not talking about they just don't like you. I'm not talking about they just are using you. I'm talking about they hate you. I promise you this, folks. Satan hates you today. He hates you. He's not just trying to make you miserable. He's not just trying to use you. Listen to me. He absolutely, positively hates you, your family, your children, your grandchildren, anything that you come in contact with, he absolutely hates it. Hate. You say, well, you'd think they'd be thankful for a long, long time, and they'd remember how much Egypt hated them and how they were coming with chariots to kill every one of them. And yeah, they did remember it for a while, but the Bible says, verse 13, they soon forgot his works. Wasn't long they forgot. And that's something how we forget our pardon. Our pardon. Yeah, verse 11, the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. And Satan wants to take us to hell. And God's pardoned us so we don't have to go there. That's what happened when I got saved. God has made it possible because Jesus died on the cross. And God has said to me, not guilty. God has said to me, you're my son. God has said to me, you won't answer for your sins. You won't be punished for your sins. Yeah. See, we're not, the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. I've been pardoned. I'm pardoned. But see, it's not just hell. It's in my life. I don't have to let sin reign and rule in my life. And neither do you. When you get saved. But we forget that. Oh, I just can't quit this thing. Yes, you can. If you're saved. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, but this is such a bad habit. Yeah, you can. Why? Because there's power in the blood. Power in the blood. See, I got saved because I was tired of sin controlling me. I was tired of the penalty of sin that was in my life. If you're here today and you're not saved, then sin is controlling your life as well. We forgot God's pardon. Not guilty. not controlled by anymore. We forget that. Number three, we forget God's power. Boy, do we ever forget this. We forget God's power. Verse 8, the Bible says that he might make his mighty power to be known. How did he do it? He rebuked the Red Sea. Can you imagine? I mean, just think about that. God said, Red Sea, back up! And boom. I mean, right, it splits. Liberals don't like that. Did you know that? People that want to deny the Bible, they want to say, well, it must have been a tornado came. And, oh yeah, I'm going to lead my people into the middle of a tornado now. You ought to get weary of some of the arguments that are given. No, listen to me. God simply split it. He just said, water, move. Hey, the God that spoke the worlds into existence, I guess a little Red Sea isn't much to him. But again, we forget that power, don't we? Can you imagine? The Israelites, they forgot the plagues. They forgot the fire and hail from heaven. They forgot the locusts. They forgot the frogs. They forgot the darkness that could be felt. They forgot where they lived, it was light. And where the Egyptians lived, it was darkness. I'm talking about somebody lights a match. They didn't have them. But anyway, and the fire's dark. But they forgot that. They forgot all that. I'm amazed how soon we forget God's power. Wasn't that long ago God bailed you out of a financial mess? Wasn't that long ago God bailed you out of a health problem? Wasn't that long ago God did this, God did that, you prayed, God did it, you saw God's power. Wasn't that long ago you saw God's power in saving your soul? I know what I was. I know what God did. That's power. That is power. But just like them, we forgot God's power. Verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They soon forgot his works. Americans have forgotten. You know, somehow they believe the idea. And I understand hard work has been crucial in America, and Americans have been hard workers. But isn't it amazing? We forgot that too. By the way, that's a Bible principle. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Huh? But we've forgotten about that now. We're putting more and more people, more and more Americans on welfare than ever before. And more and more people are getting handouts than ever before. And instead of saying, hey, we need you to work hard and you need to get a job and you need to do your best and you need to work to achieve, we're telling, hey, listen, let the government take care of you. And though people aren't actually coming out and saying that, come on. It's what's understood. But more than our own power, we're forgetting his power. He who makes it rain, he who makes the sun shine, he who keeps the sun where it is, keeps the temperature what it needs to be, keeps the earth tilted just right, he who gives gravity, otherwise we would all just float. I'm just saying, we forget God's power. And what we do is we become professional Christians where everything's just routine. There's no thrill. There's no decision. We come to church. We think we've arrived. Our hearts get hard. We become bitter. We become selfish. We're so proud. We're smarter and more spiritual than God, preachers, the Bible. Remember when we weren't? Remember when we didn't have a clue? I remember so well not having a clue. I remember the first time I saw somebody get baptized. I said, what's that? What's that guy trying to do? Kill people? He's going to drown those poor people. I didn't understand, didn't know. How could we forget the power of God? How could we forget the trial we went through and he got us out? How could we forget the problems we've had and he gave us the solution? How could we forget God's power? Yeah, but we do. America is great because God's power has been on America. Well, we found the gold. Who put it there? Well, we found the oil. And what are you going to do about that? Right? You know, I watch that oil and I hate it. Absolutely. I've lived in the South. I can't even imagine what those people are going through. But every time I see one of those pictures of that oil coming up out of there, I think, boy, God is so powerful. Do you understand? All he has to do is speak and it stops. Man's trying to deal with it. We forget God's power. Haven't we seen hurricanes? Haven't we seen tornadoes? Haven't we seen earthquakes? Haven't we watched volcanoes? Haven't we seen just a glimpse of God's power? We forget. Number one, we forgot it. We forget our prayer. Number two, we forget our pardon. Number three, we forget God's power. Number four, we forget the price. We forget the price. What do you mean? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I think honestly, when I was 17 years old, And I knew I was lost, and I knew I needed to be saved. The thing that I struggled with the most is, okay, what's this going to cost me? And soul winner after preacher, they kept saying, it doesn't cost you anything. Yeah, but come on, what? There's got to be strength. No, there's no strings attached. God wants to save you, and He paid the bill. God wants to give you a gift. And gifts do not cost the receiver anything. The gift of God is eternal life. I remember being 17 and contemplating salvation, and I thought about some gifts that I had received. My parents had given us many, many gifts. And I thought, gift, I can understand that. You're here today without Christ. You need to understand something. God's salvation is free to you. It's not free. Just like America is not free. People paid a price, and certainly blood has been spilt over this country, and blood was spilt for your salvation. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, but it has no cost to you. What do I need to do? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But somehow, again, we forget the price. We've forgotten. How can we forget? You know, that's what amazes me. People, so many years I've watched Christians come to church and have a scowl on their face. We got the best deal in the world. We sing songs about Calvary. We sing songs like Amazing Grace. We sing these songs about what God's done for us. By the way, Amazing Grace, it is amazing. And we sing these songs, and I watch people, it's like, and I think, what is the deal? I've watched people frown singing Victory in Jesus. And all I have to think is, wow, I got the best deal in the world. Somebody, if you were living in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, nice home with 5 acres of land, and somebody gave that to you, you'd probably smile about it for a few years. Amen. You'd probably be excited about that for a long time. Some of you are saying, try me. Yeah, so seriously, if we just went out and let's say we had a promotion Sunday and we're giving away free Corvettes. Hello. I think the place would be packed, probably. But honestly, if somebody gave you a free Corvette, I think you'd be excited about that. And our salvation's free. And we forget, though, don't we? It's the best deal in the world. When I called upon Jesus and asked Him into my heart, and I asked Him to forgive me and save me and give me eternal life, and He did. Just like that. Wow. I don't want to forget. We forget the price. And then lastly, number five, we forget the peace. I think it's interesting in Psalm 106, we see a lot of negative. We see a lot of stuff of failure as far as God's people. But then tucked right here in the middle is verse 12. And it was after the waters covered their enemies, there was not one of them left. I'm talking about the whole Egyptian army is drowned in the Red Sea. And then verse 12, then believed they his words. And then this little four-word phrase, they sang his praise. And then right after that, they forgot. They forgot, they forgot, they forgot. But they sang his praise. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to praise him. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Yeah. We're supposed to praise him. I'm not talking about running up and down the aisles and swinging from the lights and all. Just praise him. Just, isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love hearing people say, well, praise God. Well, amen. Well, glory to God. Yeah. But see, we forget that peace that he gave that caused them to instantly just burst out in praise when they look and the Egyptians are all drowned. Peace. See, I remember conviction. I remember sitting and sweating and wondering if I was going to go to hell. I remember worrying. I remember thinking about it. I remember hearing preachers preach about it. You say, why didn't you get saved? I was stubborn, just like so many of us are. And I can still remember invitations given, and the preacher said, okay, if you're here today and you're not saved and you want to get saved, would you raise your hand? And I have no idea why my hand would go up. And I would even try to pull it down sometimes because I just, don't come after me, preacher. Don't come after me. But I was so guilty and I was so convicted. You know, peace is such a wonderful thing when you get that settled. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I mean, it really is. It's a wonderful thing to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. It's a wonderful thing. In these days, it's such a wonderful thing to know that the things that we see happening that are negative things, they're things that we don't necessarily like, but they are things God said would have to happen first before he comes. You say, aren't you bothered? I really have peace. I really do have peace about that. I can go through the scanners. I can go on OnStar. I can do all that and I can have real peace. Aren't you worried what they're going to do? I already know what they're going to do. God told me what they're going to do. But I already know what he did. So they can't do anything to me that he doesn't allow. And they can't do anything to you if you're a Christian. But that's peace. That's at peace. I told you the time I got saved, it was after a message on the second coming of Christ. And I was convinced the rapture was going to take place then. In fact, I knew it. Brenda and I lived about 45 minutes apart. And I still can remember. We came from church, went to her house. I was lost. I knew I was lost. She went upstairs to do something. I had no idea. Women go upstairs to do something all the time. And for some reason, that little bit of time took forever to me. And it got quiet in the house. And it was real quiet in the house. And in my mind, the rapture took place. In my heart, I saw myself driving home. There would be cars all along the highway wrecked and planes had fallen out of the sky, and I knew I was going to burn in hell. And in my mind, I saw that. She came down. It absolutely scared me to death. And I said, I got to go. And I got in my car, and I drove, and I pulled over. I had to stop three or four times all along the way. It took me an hour and a half, I believe, to go 45, what normally was 45 minutes. And I pulled over so many times, and I cried, because I knew I was going to hell. But then when I got home, I ran into my bed and I knelt at my bed and begged God to save my soul. I'm going to tell you, peace came in. Do you remember when you got saved? How could I ever forget that? Peace. In all these years, I've never doubted if I died, where I would spend eternity because of that peace. And I've watched Christians. I remember before I got saved, I saw Christians that had a joy and a peace that I wanted. And I have it. I have it. I don't ever want to forget that. I say all that to say this. America's in trouble because we've forgotten. And we've forgotten because God's people are forgotten. We've forgotten because we have done exactly what people in Psalm 106 did. We forgot. I'll tell you, America's great because God has blessed America. America will continue to be great as long as God blesses America. Take off! In God we trust. We shouldn't have that. That's not right. You can't say you trust in God. Hey, what's wrong with you people praying before we have our meetings? You can't pray in Jesus' name. What's wrong with you? Hey, what's wrong with you folks out here knocking on our door? We have privacy. You can't knock on our door and tell us about Jesus. You have no right to tell our people they're going to hell. You can't tell them that they're not saved. You can't. You have no right. And you see, and the longer all that happens, we're going to be the strange, strange ones. But you know what? If we forget, nobody's ever going to hear anything about God. If you don't tell them at work, come on, you know how you're silenced. Hello? Right? Come on, all over here. I worked in, this was years ago, I worked at RCA, and you know, lost people all around. They're using God's name in vain. They're cussing, swearing, talking about immorality and all the junk they're doing, talking about drugs, talking about alcohol. I one day said, hey, listen, I'm a Christian. I got saved just recently. God came in my heart and saved me. And they all... And they started calling me the preacher boy. That was a long time ago. Some of you go through a whole lot worse than that. Don't forget what God did. Don't be afraid to stand up for Him. Don't be afraid to talk about Him. Don't be afraid as Christians to talk about Jesus over and over and over and over. Don't forget what He's done for you. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking, no one's talking. I wonder, with heads bowed and with eyes closed, how many would say, preacher, I am saved. I know I'm saved. If I died right now, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. There is no doubt about it. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I know that I'm saved. If that's your testimony, would you raise your hand, please? You know you're saved. You've made that decision. Thank you. God bless you. That's most of the folks here. By far, a lot of hands went up. You can put them down. Thank you. But maybe there's someone here who'd say, preacher, I don't know that. If I died right now, I'm really not sure whether I'd go to heaven. I'm just not sure. I'm not trying to make you a Baptist. I'm not trying to make you religious. I am trying to get you to understand Jesus loves you. He died on a cross to pay for your sins. And He wants to save you today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many would say, preacher, I could not raise my hand that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. But I'd like you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand, anyone? Just slip it up. Say, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. I am not sure. Is there someone like that? Maybe a child, teenager, adult? I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone? How many would say, preacher, I am a Christian. I am already saved. But God spoke into my heart about some things. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? Just slip it up. Thank you. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation today, please. We would ask you, Lord, to work in our hearts and our lives to make the decisions we need to make. Help us never, 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 never to forget what you've done for us. Please, and forgive us, Lord, when we do. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing the first verse, number 15. Lead me to Calvary. Notice the chorus. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. As we sing on the first verse, if you need to come, you come.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. If you have a decision to make today, God's spoken your heart about something, lest I forget, lead me to Calvary, Lord. Lead me to Calvary. Does it take the Lord's Supper to remind us? Or can we just think about the Lord every day, all the time, constantly? Think about His love. Think about what He's done. Think about how He saved your soul, how He's given you eternal life if you're saved today. And if you've never trusted Christ, please, please, please don't leave without asking Jesus into your heart. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. One more verse. If you need to come, come on this verse. Lest I forget, lead me to Calvary. Praise the Lord. Don has already announced there will be no ensemble practice at 4:30, but we will have choir practice at 5. All the choirs, well, except 4 through 6, will not have practice, I don't believe. Anybody know any different than that? I don't think so. They will not have practice. But everybody else will. We'll have our men's prayer time and ladies' prayer time at 5. Teens are at 5. Curry, are you in charge of that tonight? All right, so 5 o'clock, and then we will have our church service tonight at 6 o'clock, and so everybody's encouraged to be here for that. And good to have Loanna's family here. Good to have Nita's family here. And Gary Haskell is here as well. I forgot to mention him. Good to see Gary. Make sure you say hello to him and thank him for coming. Praise the Lord. All right, let's close in prayer, Brother Don. Pray, please.
Father, help us to be thankful for all that you are. Father, to be thankful for all that you've given. Lord, the freedom that we have. Father, may we realize that that freedom comes from you. And Lord, help us not to forget your power. Most of all, let us not forget your presence. And the gift you've given to us, the Holy Spirit, to guide and to direct us. Lord, if there be what one yet in this room that doesn't have the presence of the Holy Spirit, may not leave until the presence and the peace and the joy is his or hers. Guide and direct, Lord. Give us a safe day. Bring us together again this evening, we pray in Jesus' name.